I think so. And that was back in 1975. At this time, Sunday school can be dismissed. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. Just bless you in that ministry. Many, many children come to Christ through this ministry. Wow. Do we have any special guests this morning that would like to be introduced? Any special guest? Yes. Yeah, you got the first quiz. What year was that?
1977.
No, we got the first.
Oh, no.
I'll bring mine. I still have it. So do I.
Oh, what a ministry. All those years have kept. What a ministry. Any other guests that would like to be introduced? We have Miss Sally with us this morning from Oregon. Nice to have you this morning with the Fritz and Blossom family and the Bosick family. She's here for the big wedding coming up. All right. Are you from Denver? Well, welcome. All right. Well, Trudy and I thank you for your hospitality since we've been here this summer. And what a blessing it is. This is our home church. We were saved here in 1975. And so it's really a blessing to be able to come back and share the word with you. If you're here this morning and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there are tracts on the table back there in the foyer. And I would definitely urge you, why not pick up a tract and understand how Jesus died for you on the cross, and by faith and faith alone, you receive the gift of eternal life and have the absolutely guarantee of going to heaven when you die. What better? Nothing better than that, right? And we'll be talking about Enoch this morning, and he walked right into glory with God. And so that's going to be a great example of faith this morning. If you have a Bible available, there's Bibles around in the front of your chairs. Please grab one and begin, and we'll turn to Genesis chapter 5 to begin with. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Then we'll go to Jude. Then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 5, Hebrews, and then, no, Jude and then Hebrews. Let's say this together. Genesis 5, Jude, and then Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start and understand the story of Enoch. We've been talking about, this is the third lesson that we've had on faith. The third lesson. First one, we defined faith. Second, we went to Cain and Abel approximately 7,000 years ago and understood how Abel was the first man to put his faith in Jesus Christ, you might say, the coming of Christ, and he received righteousness. Isn't it true that when you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, Ephesians 5:21, says, for he hath made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. The same righteousness that Abel received when he put his faith in the coming of the Christ, we put our faith in the what accomplished back on the cross. But Genesis, let's have a little, before we get into the life of Enoch, let's see a little background on him in Genesis chapter 5, if you would please. Genesis chapter 5. The statement on the board is a phenomenal statement. You sang this morning regarding believe that he is. And so this morning we wanted to emphasize more regarding the teaching on faith. And I really have a burden in this area. I really do. I quoted a poll that was taken regarding this phenomenal false teaching going around the world, which involves millions and millions of people, involved millions and millions and millions of dollars, called the Prosperity Gospel and the Word of Faith Movement. And this false teaching is an attack directly, right from Satan, on one's faith. When you and I put our faith in false doctrine, it's meaningless. Faith must be grounded on sound theology and sound biblical doctrine, which we will see this morning. It's an absolute necessary teaching. And what is taking place today in the church today is, as I mentioned before, regarding faith, this is being set aside, and storytelling and whatever else might come in behind the pulpit is leading the people today in the body of believers to exercise faith that's not on based on sound theology. And that's serious. The poll that was taken regarding evangelical circles, regarding this movement, 46% said, hey, I agree with that. 46% of the folks in the church today, off from the poll, said, oh yeah, I don't see anything wrong with prosperity gospel and the word of faith movement. That's sad. It really is. One's faith must be placed on sound biblical theology. Amen? It's an absolute. It's an absolute. Genesis chapter 5, if you would please. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch walked with God for 300 years. At the end of 300 years, God and Enoch took a walk, and they walked right into glory. Walked right into glory. Enoch did not experience physical death. God just took him with hand in hand, and they walked right into glory. Turn to Jude, if you would, please. Next to the last chapter, next to Revelation, Jude chapter 14, if you would, please. Jude chapter 14. I would like to get a little history here before we see the life of Enoch. Jude 14. Jude 14. He walked with God for 300 years, and God took him right into glory without seeing death. Now Enoch in Jude 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and he was preaching and teaching of the coming judgment, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was going on here, seventh from Adam, was false doctrine, false teachers. And it gives a list of apostasy that was taking place that soon in the history or the dawn of the human race. Enoch received divine revelation and prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, exercising judgment on this sinful world that we live in. The first phase of that, of course, is the rapture. The second, the Lord Jesus Christ sets his foot on Mount Olives and executes the 1,000 reign millennium. But that 7-year period of the tribulation is what Enoch is prophesying, walking with God for 300 years regarding false apostate teachers. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Amos 3:3 reads, "Can two walk together except they be agreed? Absolutely not." So Enoch and God walked together and they agreed on the basic fundamentals of who God was. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Remember, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He preached the coming of the Messiah, exercised judgment on this earth. And they agreed. They agreed. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith. Faith is a root word which we emphasize means belief, trust, and confidence. To exercise faith, again, Hebrews chapter 10, 17, or Romans 10, 17, says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You and I and the church, the body of believers, must emphasize the fact that they put their faith in the Holy Scriptures. It's an absolute. And like I said, today we're getting away from the power or the holiness of the text that we hold in our hands this morning. So by faith, Enoch walked. He was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We see that it pleased God because Enoch exercised faith that was pleasing to him. The emphasis here, believe that he is, has a meaning that you exercise faith and understanding who God is. Who he is. And that is pleasing to God. What I would like to emphasize this morning is, how do you exercise faith that is pleasing to him? He is not the man upstairs. When I hear that, I just shudder. He is not the man upstairs. He is not Big Daddy in the sky. And you've heard, and you've heard, and you've heard. He is God, Jehovah, the Creator. And for you and I to exercise faith in the Creator, our Savior, to please him, our faith must be based upon this term right here, believe that he is. Romans chapter 1 said they reduced God to an image, to a creature, a bug, or a golden calf that you're familiar with. That's blasphemy, and faith in a God that is not based upon truth is not faith at all. Is not faith at all. A popular self-help organization tells its members, and I'll quote, "You have to have a relationship with God as you perceive him to be." I'll read that again. You think about that. A popular self-help organization tells its members, "You have to have a relationship with God as you perceive him to be." as you perceive him to be. That is nonsense. That is folly. The only way that you and I will exercise knowledge and have exercised faith in the true living God is from revelation that he gave us in the holy text. No human mind has the insight or the knowledge to perceive God as a human, from the human mind. It must come from here, right here. Come from here. But all today, it seems like everybody has their own identity on who God is. That's not exercising faith. That is not exercising faith. The revelation that we have in Scripture is the foundation of his truth, his being, and his existence in all eternity. The human mind cannot identify God. Faith is pleasing to God, but it must be exercising according to his revelation. Hosea 6:6 kind of sums it up really well. The Lord says, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. In the knowledge of God. That statement elevates the knowledge of God to a position of supreme importance. It means that you're exercising true faith through the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, true worship, and a true walk according to God's revelation. And it pleased God. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. A true walk is grounded on divine revelation on who God is. And that does not come from how you and I perceive him in our human mind. It comes from the holy text. How God has revealed himself in Holy Scripture. He's not Big Daddy or the man upstairs. He is the omnipotent creator who gives life and sent his son to die for you upon Calvary's cross. Let's look at some of his attributes this morning. He's eternal. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. He is holy. That's his foremost attribute. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's faithful. Great is his faithfulness. And his characteristics to you and I, he exercises love and grace and mercy and kindness. Yet he hates sin. His wrath upon sin was displayed at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. And when the Lord Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why have thou forsaken me? His wrath was released upon your sin and my sin, as Jesus was our Redeemer, paying the price. Yet Romans 5:5 says he loved us while we were yet dead in sin. We were never separated from his love. That's how revelation reveals that he is. Enoch believed God and he walked with God for 300 years and God was pleased with his face, with his testimony for 300 years. Scripture describes many walks. You know, you and I have a walk. Walk in the New Testament is a root word that means conduct, daily lifestyle. Are you walking with Jesus this morning? Is your conduct, is my conduct pleasing to God by, as I exercise my faith in him and walk with him? Many walks are described in Scripture, like a truthful walk, a loving walk, a wise walk, a worthy walk, a lightened walk, a good walk. All these walks that you and I have been challenged to walk with Christ can be summed up from 1 John 2:16. It says, "He that saith that he abideth in him," in Christ, "ought himself also walk, even as Christ walked." You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He abides in you. Then we walk accordingly, a worthy walk. But that walk must be based on divine revelation on who Christ is. They go right together. You cannot walk by faith in false doctrine, false theology. You must believe that he is. Colossians 2:6 reads, "As ye have therefore received Christ," as you received him, Jesus is Lord, "so walk ye in him." Walk ye in him. Walking with God is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, is following him. There's just no substitute for understanding who we are in Christ and how to walk in Christ. Listen to Ephesians 5:1. It reads, "Therefore, be imitators of God." Be imitators. Copycats. "Therefore, be copycats," or imitators of God, "as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." You and I have been called to walk with Christ. And there's no greater walk than to begin walking in love as he is loved. And walk in love. So I'd just like to encourage us this morning. When you exercise faith, you begin, the first step of faith, of course, is exercising your faith in Christ as your personal Savior, which I'll explain in a moment. But Christians, if you're going to walk, then you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in him, follow him. And it says, be imitators of God and walk in love. Walk in love. That is a great, great introduction for you and I to understand the importance of our walk as believers in Christ. So let's talk about the first step of faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The first step in a believer's life, the first step is to exercising their faith in the Savior. So that takes knowledge too, doesn't it? Just like Enoch walked with God for 300 years and believed that he is Jehovah. Well, when we put our faith in Christ, we have to understand that he is the Savior. He came to seek and save those who were lost. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death." The word there, death, in Romans 6:23 means separation from God, spiritual death forever and ever. Forever and ever. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's exercising faith in the Savior. Faith. And so the invitation then to exercising your first step in faith then is putting the faith in Jesus as your Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here this morning and have never made that decision, I urge you to do that today. Today is the day for salvation. You may not see tomorrow. You're only one breath away from eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Powerful question, isn't it? 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know it. You have the assurance, and God does not lie. He's the God of truth. When he promises you eternal life, you have eternal life. And you can make that decision right now in the quietness of your own mind, right where you're sitting. If you've never made that decision, think about it. The wages of sin is death. You and I, as sinners, need a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. He shed his blood on the cross for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And the invitation is for the world to come and believe on him and receive the gift of eternal life. This is probably the last time that I'll be with you this season. I'm going south. So I got a burden for every one of you. I want every one of you to be in glory. Paul says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Woe! John chapter 12, God the Father commanded the Lord Jesus Christ to preach everlasting life. That's the theme of the whole text. That's it. There's tracts out there for you to grab and share that with somebody else too. So grab a tract. But let's go by bowing head. Let's bow this morning. I don't know everyone here this morning, but even if I did, I don't know for sure. Only God knows if you're going to heaven. But I would for his glory. Maybe this morning, if you're here and never, ever come to grips with eternal life, but this morning you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the first time, you say, "Yes, I am a sinner, and I do believe in Jesus who paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that he is my Savior." If you're making that for the first time this morning, why don't you just slip up your hand that we can thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody this morning for the first time, saying, "Jesus, I believe in you as my Savior." Anybody? Anybody at all? Wow, what a blessing, Father. What a blessing. That this ministry, this church, has been preaching the gospel for, I know, for many, many, many years. So, Father, may this ministry continue in the power of the gospel to be in this community and reach souls for salvation. Father, every one of us this morning bow with gratitude and thanksgiving to you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus this morning. Thank you, Father, that you have given us revelation that we can know you, that we can cry out, "Abba, Father," as the adopted children in Christ. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you for your love that will never ever be separated from your love. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.